God, we want this whole night to be about you, Lord God. We want you to shine through us, Lord God. We want you to work in us, Lord. We just pray for your presence and for your great work, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to introduce the lovely and still pregnant wife, Laura Grant.
You'll have to forgive me. I don't have as amazing PowerPoints as Pastor Rich. This is my first PowerPoint ever. So anyway, but I just kind of want to go over some of the basics of where we're going to be, some questions I've, you know, been asked. And so we can just kind of give you all the details about where we're going. Okay, so where we're going in Africa. It's the southernmost place, South Africa. Pretty easy to see there. The first red star there is where Daniel's parents live in Johannesburg. So we'll be flying into there the first week, getting settled. They'll be helping us get our stuff that we need. And then the second star up there in Mpumalanga, that's the province it in, is White River, where we'll be living. That's where the school's at. And so we'll be about 4 to 5 hours from them. So it's that's where we'll be. We'll be flying in, driving there. The last star I had down here, just as a quick reminder, if anybody doesn't know, Lesotho is actually a country in itself. It's landlocked by South Africa. So just some interesting details I've been learning as I keep going as well. But, yes, we'll be in the southernmost tip, and those stars represent where we'll be at. Do you want to talk about this? You want me to?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Just some basic facts about South Africa. They're in the middle of their 2010 census as well. So this is very kind of mid-2010 numbers. 49.9 million are in South Africa. Huge amount of people. They've got 11 official languages. So good luck to me on trying to learn all those. But Afrikaans and English are the two that you'll hear the most. The other ones, which I will not even pronounce,
Zulu.
Yes, he can say it. Attempt to pronounce. But there are 11 official languages. So it's definitely a country where lots of diversity. So there are 9 provinces. I got them all written out there. You saw them in the previous slide there. It shows the different provinces here except for Lesotho. So we'll be in Mpumalanga. Let me go back there. And their main population groups, African makes up 79%, white is 9.2%, colored, which is made up mainly of those who were brought over as slaves from other parts of Africa to the country. Wow. So from like West and Northern Africa. And then Indian Asian, Daniel's dad actually works a lot. He's working with the Chinese over there right now. So there's a lot of diversity. Okay, so this is the PowerPoint of the school we're going to be going to. This is the front gate to the Africa School of Missions, and the gate is actually on a road to the Numbi Gate, which is one of the gates to
Kruger National Park.
Kruger National Park, which is the largest national park in South Africa. So we're going to be right there. We're kind of out in the middle. It would definitely be considered rural South Africa, and you'll see some more pictures that will show that. This is a picture of one of their main buildings, the dining hall. Upstairs is the dining hall, and downstairs you have some rooms. Off to the right there, you'll see the entrance to the prayer chapel. But these are just some pictures we took. We were there in March. We went to visit his family, and we were able to visit about 5 different schools. And the Lord really blessed us because being able to put your feet on a location, you know, he just really spoke to us that this is where he wanted us. So it's another picture of the dining hall. This is kind of looking out over the main lawn. You do see a small swim pool there. We're kind of excited. Most of you know Daniel and I love to swim. We're water babies, so baby Gabriel will get his swimming lessons in there right away so we can keep him safe. But that's the lawn. This is all an enclosed area. It's like a compound, so it has an electric fence running around the outside for animals or other scary things. But that's the main lawn there.
There are scarier things than your husband?
Yes, scarier things than Daniel. I know, scary. It's kind of exciting because they've got the tennis courts there. I was excited about that. Some of you know I love to play tennis, but that was just some more of the property. This is a prayer garden they have up kind of in the hills a little bit. That was exciting. We love that. And if I'm going too fast, tell me to slow down. And I also forgot to say, if you have any questions at all, I was recently at a seminar when a lady said, I can never pay attention if I have a question on my mind. It's always in the back of my head. So feel free to raise your hand if you have a question. I don't mind stopping and answering because I would love to answer your question so it's not in the back of your mind. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, English is the most you'll see there. Afrikaans, I don't know, you're better at answering this one.
English and Afrikaans are your two main languages that just about everybody will have some kind of versing in English and Afrikaans. To some people, English will be a third or a fourth language, but they'll definitely have learned it in order to get around. A lot of your street signs and things like that are all going to be in English. So that's your one of your primaries, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, great.
Can you go back there in January?
No, it'll be summer. The seasons are actually completely opposite of what we have here. They do have four seasons. It tends to be a little bit on the warmer side. But when people think of Africa, they tend to think of the countries right on the equator, more in like Western Africa and Central Africa. And because we're so south, we actually do have different seasons. But like there, Santa comes on a surfboard, not in a sleigh. So
Dan Ludi would be proud.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, but it'll be summer when we go there. So when it's June and July here, it will have our colder time then.
And there's no tooth fairy. It's the tooth mouse.
Oh, the tooth mouse, apparently. Carlos?
You'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a gate that will keep them out. The only animal we saw get in are the monkeys. We were walking around that night, and they're jumping from trees, and Daniel starts talking to them, and they start throwing fruit, and I'm ducking out of the way. So, anyway,
it'll be exciting. The monkeys and I are going to have it out when I get there.
Yes. He doesn't go to the dog house. He goes to the monkey house. He goes, yes.
Cut down your tree.
So,
try not to eat lions.
At least eat them before they eat you. That's a good thing. These are some of the living quarters there. It is set up in a dorm-style room. These are the outsides of them. One of the questions we've been asked is, what is our living situation going to look like? We don't find out till December, but we've put in a request for a flat, a one-bedroom flat, which would give us our own kitchen and kind of a separate room. If we don't get that, if there's like a family that has more needs, like four children, we'll have, you know, just little baby Gabriel, then we'll be in a double room like this, kind of like a hotel room where you have a door in the middle and then two rooms on either side. But that was the outside of some of the living quarters. On the right there, you'll see that's their little small prayer chapel. I didn't get a chance to go inside, but I think Daniel did.
It's tiny,
but it's awesome that they provide that. And then picture on the left was just some of the gorgeous scenery around there, some of the pathways through the school. This is their library. They were in the middle of doing something when we were there. I think they said they were getting more books.
They have a ton more books than they have shelves for,
so they're
putting in new shelves.
They had more books than they had shelves for, so they were building more shelves, but it's kind of exciting to see that we'll both have access to some of the materials we'll need. So their computer lab, and on the right there is their TV room. If you can see that little thing right there is the TV.
There's five rows of chairs. And one little television at the front of the room.
So they get together and they'll watch sporting events or they'll watch a movie and stuff like that. So if we're able to get a flat, we'll be able to have some things in our flat, that like a TV or something like that. If we do end up with one of the dorm-style rooms, then we have to get permission on everything beyond like a computer, I think. So we might be in some of these group settings a lot more.
Who's that beautiful woman?
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Fortunately, it was the only picture we had, darn it. This is the inside of the rooms. So as you can see, they're kind of tiny. They're made to hold three students, but we would get a double room, so we'd have one of those plus another one there. That's the rec room. Daniel was very excited about teaching SCUM because he saw a pool table for all those who know he loves SCUM. So, and that's a pool game, if anybody doesn't know. And the other side is the inside of the dining hall. They'll be providing us with lunches, and then breakfast and dinner we'll be providing on our own. And if we don't get a flat, then we will be in a communal kitchen, which is, again, totally fine. We are completely okay with whatever the Lord gives us. We are just excited to go and ready to go, and I'll be toting little baby Gabriel around with me everywhere. So we are just excited about that. So some of the things they have available, which is kind of cool, on the left there, that's actually a greenhouse. It's not a like solid building. Do you know more about these?
It's a black tarp, and the tarp traps the heat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The tarp, I thought I had the mic on here. It's on. It just might not be up. Okay, so the tarp traps the heat and keeps the monkeys out. So it's a double bonus for the black tarp. It's not actually got glass, But that's kind of where they would keep any crops that they would be growing.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And we're hoping that maybe we can have our own little garden in there, too, to grow some stuff. On the other side, that's the main chapel that's built actually on the compound. It's gorgeous. We didn't get a chance to go inside, but just the outside of it. So we'll be having our meetings and worship times in there. And that's one of the big blessings about everything being encompassed in this compound, which would, I don't know, size-wise, what do you think? The compound?
It's pretty large.
It's pretty large. I mean, Daniel and I walked the perimeter, and it took us about 30 to 45 minutes. Of course, we were stopping to take pictures. So they've truly been blessed with the property they have there. And these are just some views. The bottom ones there, you can maybe see the electric fence. It's about how high it is. There's a nearby lake. We don't know if there's crocodiles or not. Could be. And over there, just some of the great, great things around. Sorry. Yeah, Carlos.
Are there a ton. We're not
there's
talk
some
about
in
right
South
now.
Africa, but we're trusting the Lord will provide and protect us. Yes, he was asking if there was deadly snakes. So there are different things. The electric fence helps keep out a lot of those things.
We could do an entire demonstration just on the deadly snakes in this region, but we're not
you
going to.
You ate one tonight. No, I'm just kidding. That wasn't a snake.
No, you didn't.
No, that was beef. One of the interesting things I wanted to mention, too, I've had people ask about malaria, issues with malaria and the little baby there. We technically are in malaria country, but when we went to the school, you know, we kind of hemmed and hawed about asking them about it, and the lady who was giving us a tour told us they haven't had a single case of malaria in the 10 years they've been open.
It was 20 years.
20 years, however long they've been open, even though they're in malaria country, you can tell the Lord has just put a protection around the school. So even though we are technically in malaria country, they've never had a single person come down with malaria. So that's just a blessing in itself, and I know some people were wondering about that. These are some pictures of just the area around us. As you can see, it's very rural. We're kind of just dropped down in the center here. This actual city we're in, well, town or village almost. I don't know. What's the
maybe town.
Town is White River. We're very close to the next town is called Nelspruit. I'm learning all of them.
Nelspruit.
If anybody followed the World Cup, some of the games were played in Nelspruit. And so we're about 15, 20 minutes from there. So the town we're in will be about 5 minutes outside of the town. Town maybe has one grocery store, and then if you want to do anything, you drive the 15, 20 minutes to Nelspruit. Again.
Right.
Okay, yes, he's teaching me. Anyway, you drive to the next town, and they're a little bit bigger, but we're definitely out in the middle of not very many commodities. And is that the right word? Amenities? I don't know. Anyway, we're out in the middle there. Okay, so I wanted to put, I know that the words got small there because I was trying to put them down. Just some of Africa's, the School of Missions, their contact info, and I was going through it. And their mission statement is equipping a new generation of world changers. And I know the core values got really small there, so it'll be hard to see them. But one of the things I really love is near the bottom there, I tried to highlight and underline them, is that they really focus on lifelong involvement on the mission field. I just haven't seen that very often in a missions training school. It's, you know, come and we'll train you and then you go home. But their program is set up to help missionaries stay lifelong out on the field. And
their emphasis is on the head, the heart, and the hands. I thought that was very cool, a very practical thing of, you know, renewing the mind, working on the heart, and then how you can be of practical service. And so we thought that the school, as far as looking at the different schools, was a very good practical emphasis. Very, very good that way.
Some of the areas that are going to be covered, Daniel's actually going to be enrolled in the program. I'm going to be stay-at-home mom, but they have completely opened it up for me if I can find a babysitter to jump in on any of the lessons with him, on any of the activities. So they were very encouraging with a three-month-old that they're very big on family there. And they don't want a family torn apart. So they're very encouraging that I make Gabriel my number one ministry and then jump in where I can. These are some of the areas that are going to be covered in Daniel's training. He'll be having cross-cultural, dealing with cross-cultural issues, church planting, ministry planning. It has all the different ones up there. And more than welcome, I'll leave it afterwards if you want to read more about them.
But, yes. Unfortunately, Nerf guns are very hard to come by in South Africa. Real guns are actually really easy to come by. Nerf guns are really hard to come by. So, yeah. I don't think that really qualifies as a junior high activity. But,
yeah. Nerf arrows, yes.
Of course.
But
on my hip.
Okay, yes. Show him your weapons. He loves to keep his knives on him. Keeps him safe. I don't like them. But anyway, the training opportunities they have, I kind of want to talk about this. Daniel will be enrolled in the Missions and Ministry Development Program, which is basically those things we were talking about earlier. We're also, he's going to be enrolled in a theological degree for his master's. And that is so we can have as many tools as possible when we hit the field. And if they require that for him to speak somewhere or just for him to have a bit further base knowledge, so that's something he's going to be taking on at the same time as the regular program. So it's going to be a little heavy, but he's going to be doing that at the same time. Another opportunity that's there that I am still kind of leaving in the Lord's hands is nursing school. One of the students who actually went to the school graduated and opened a hospital right across the street from the school. So that's encouraging with a newborn baby, too, to have a hospital right across the street. But they now do a nursing school program, and since I was very young, I wanted to be involved in nursing. Right now, the only thing kind of holding me back is it does require 1,000 hours of on-site work, and if that happens, we'd probably have to switch off a year and he'd be stay-at-home dad while I get my nursing training. So that's something that's still up in the air. It kind of goes along with the next slide. Some people have been asking, how long will you be there? At this time right now, we're guessing somewhere between 3 and 5 years. It takes about 3 years for him to finish the program he'll be in. And if the Lord provides or puts on my heart even more about the nursing school, it might take a year extra. We just want to have as much on available to us to be trained in before we leave for the field. I was kind of researching a little bit about missionaries that are coming back from the field and just not being prepared or having a different they're anticipating something else, and we just want to be as prepared as we can. So that's why right now we're just saying 3 to 5 years, because the school is very open that if you get done with one program and you want to take another, they say go for it. You know, just continue going until the Lord says, you know, you're ready. Craig. Coming back to the States will kind of depend on finances, mainly finances. We definitely are planning to make furlough trips and visits, different things like that. But as far as long-term, we're planning to stay over there. And then at the end of the program, it prepares us to move straight on with another missions organization. So truthfully, this is kind of our goodbye to U.S. as our home base and the overseas being our home base. As far as when we can come home, when the Lord provides or when he calls us to come home, if there's ever another baby on the way, if we feel that I need to be back here, stuff like that. It's kind of up in the Lord's hands. We don't have any plans right now as far as we're coming home, you know, for a visit here, then or there. So we're not exactly sure yet, but we'd like to make some visits. The middle one there, the program is set up so that each year, at the end of each year, we'll be taking a missions trip. The first one they plan for us, and we'll go as a family, an entire family, baby and all. We'll go on a missions trip, and then the second year, we start helping with the planning of the missions trip. They may say, go with this organization, but we'll choose which one we want to go on. The third year, and each consecutive year, it becomes more and more in our hands until it finally gets to the point where we choose where we're going, when we're going, how we're going to fund it. Basically, they're training us how to create our own missions trip to find where the Lord's sending us. And by the end of the program, their whole goal is for us to be partnered up with another missions organization. So it's graduation, and it's straight off to China or South America or wherever he has us with a mission organization. So it really is a launching board for our lifetime ministry. And that's what we really liked about the program. Some programs, they just train you, and then you're done. This one actually gets you hooked up with another organization that you can just go straight out and do what the Lord has for you. And I know we just kind of talked about it, but are we coming back? We are planning to make a few trips home through the years, but we're planning to stay full-time overseas. So if the Lord says to stay in South Africa, if he sets up some amazing mission there and he wants us to stay there, we may stay there. If he says go here, go there, we'll go where he says. So, but this is definitely, we're, as most of you know, because you were at the yard sale or came to the yard sale, we got rid of everything. We're not storing much of anything. So, and then just some important dates. I know some people have been confused. When are you leaving here? When are you leaving the States? When are you leaving California? We're going to be leaving on November 24th. We're going to be moving out of our apartment, starting heading up north to visit my mom who lives in Oregon, give her a month with her grandbaby. And so we'll be doing that. And then we're going to be driving home back here January 1st, and we'll be here for about a week. So I was really adamant about getting as many Sundays in as we can. So January 2nd is a Sunday, and January 9th is a Sunday. So we'll be here for 2 Sundays. We'll have a week to kind of come and say goodbye to you guys and finalize our affairs. And then our plane tickets are booked for January 10th, which is that Monday. So those are kind of just some important dates, and that's when we'll be gone officially. So I think that's my last one. Were there any questions about the slides? Did I go too fast on any of them or not answer any questions? Yeah, Brenda. The flats basically go to which family needs it most. Some families come in with 3 or 4 children, and they need to have a flat that has 2 or 3 bedrooms. It would be nice to have a flat, but with a newborn baby, he won't take up that much space. So it's kind of, they're waiting until December, which is their cutoff date for the application process. And then they look at all the families and everybody who's applied, and they go, who needs it most? And there's only about 5 or 6 flats on the school. So, and the one nice thing about the flats is once we get the flat, as long as we're with the school, we get to keep that flat. So it's not each year, it's a possibility we could get kicked out. So that's another thing. If someone already has a flat and they're continuing through the next year and they don't have it available. The other rooms are basically a dorm room, 2 dorm rooms connected with an inner door, and we'd be living in among the single students. So the one thing we let her know is with a 3-month-old, we would hate to keep the students up with the crying and stuff like that. So that was one of our little, you know, might want to consider that. So, but those are the accommodations as far as that goes. Yeah, it's like a dorm room. Let me see.
It's a long block.
Yeah.
And then, each 2 rooms are connected by 2 center doors. So you could use them as a complete separate room. But then what they would offer to us with our baby is they would give us both rooms, so we would just leave those doors open. So we'd have 2 single rooms. But that wouldn't. Then we'd have to use the communal kitchens, and then we'd have to make requests on any electronics that we want to bring in beyond, I think it was just a kettle. Yeah. We can have a kettle and a computer, and then everything else we have to make special requests for.
And again, on both of them, we're completely set, whatever the Lord gives us. We're just excited to be able to go. A flat part of it would be easier, but because I'm also be a stay-at-home mom, I can use the communal kitchen while the classes are in session and basically have a kitchen to myself. So it's kind of just up in the air, and they said they'll let us know in December. It is a pricing difference as well. So the larger the flat, a little bit more expensive the school year is. And we only asked, I think, for a single-bedroom one just because baby will be so small we can fit him in. So, yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. They are. Most of them do come from South Africa, but there are many students from around the world. They recently, the last year or so, went through kind of a decline of attendance with the economy just the way it is. It hasn't only hit the United States, just everywhere. And they said they went down to one of their lowest numbers ever. I can't remember exactly, but I haven't heard any update numbers on how many students are going to be there this year. We didn't see all the dorms, so I'm not even really sure, you know, as far as accommodations go. But they've been seeing a slow, steady increase of people coming back to the school. And it reminded me of another question. One of the things that school does, because it has a nursing program, they require all students to take that missions development program first, because there will be people who come in who aren't Christians at all that would like to pay the lower price for the nursing program and just become a nurse, but they want to make sure that who they're training is going out to do the Lord's work. So that's, even though Daniel has a bachelor's from Biola in Bible training, so some of this may be a little bit of review for them. everyone is required to take that first program to make sure that their heart is in the right place, that they're going to be using these tools. So I thought that was a really cool, an awesome way to, you know, make sure that the people they're training are going out to serve the Lord. So, yeah, Olivia. I noticed when I was looking over the website just this evening, because I was looking over, because we didn't get a chance to sit in on any of them, but that one of the programs is about buildings, like helping out with, I don't even know the right words, but the all that comes along with it. Construction, yeah, like that was one of the programs that they'll be training in, and they'll be just giving every kind of thing. I mean, there's church planting, so I'm guessing somewhere in there there's probably some kind of like building and finding a building. Unfortunately, because we haven't been in any of the classes or weren't able to sit in on any of the classes, they've got, while we were there, they were actually doing a, remember the people who were there doing the conference, World Missions? Or
I don't remember that.
They were doing one conference while we were there that even the staff, like all the secretaries and people that were in the part of school were sitting in on, and it just, they do these huge seminars whenever they can, and just pulling people in, getting as much into these heads and hearts as we can to be prepared for. So, yes.
The South African government is very interesting. It would take way too long to explain all of the like nuances of the South African government because it's got all sorts of problems. But suffice to say, the government is not super keen on the school. They're not pro the school. In fact, for a long time, the school was able to issue its own bachelor's degree. That was something that the school was able to do for a long time. But the government said, well, why don't we just send those people to the university and have them get a degree? So the government made it difficult for schools like Africa School of Mission and all sorts of other schools to issue formal degrees. And that's why it's a missions and ministry development program. It's not a bachelor's. So, but what the school did was because the South African government kind of undercut them in that way, they had connections with, what's the name? Cambridge in England has a division called Mattersley Hall. And Mattersley Hall specifically deals with theology and those kinds of things. And so through distance, now all of the students at Africa School of Mission can either do a bachelor's or a master's degree through Mattersley Hall. But it's done through distance. It's not actually the school putting it on. So the South African government won't shut them down, but they're definitely not aiding and helping them. They're actually making it more difficult on Africa School of Mission. So that's kind of where it's at right now. Definitely will not be able to work. Actually, you know, let me tell you what a typical week will look like at you know. Basically, the way they do it, they work you 5 days, 5 days a week, and then your weekends are entirely free. And that was something we liked about this school. Other schools, like, kept you, you know, 5 or 6 days and didn't let you go off campus on weekends and all sorts of other strict things. But this school, they finish at 1 o'clock on Fridays, and the rest of your weekend is yours to rest, relax, and go to church because they want you to stay connected to the local church. They want to build up the local church. And they don't want to substitute and become a local church. They want you to go and get involved in local churches around. Mondays is kind of like their work day because they don't have the finances to pay a full-time staff team to keep the entire grounds in the condition it needs to be in. Everybody gets a job, whether it be out with planting vegetables, whether it be working on maintenance, whether it be working on plumbing, whether it be cleaning or whatever it is. So Mondays is kind of your work practical day. They do worship, I think it's about four mornings they do worship every morning. They've got time set aside for quiet times, and they won't schedule anything during that time. That's your time with you and the Lord before anything else that day. Tuesdays was worship night, worship and prayer. We get together as a school, all together, and we worship and pray together as a community. Wednesdays and Thursdays, every Wednesday and Thursday, we're out doing missions work, and we're committed to that 52 weeks of the year.
Offsite.
So
working with a mission in the local area. So.
Such as it could be youth, it could be working with the poor, it could be working in evangelism, it could be working in whatever, because they've got eight different divisions of specific missions training that you'll be doing every single week. So we're not just sitting around waiting for the mission trip at the end of the year. We're doing local missions throughout the year, and then at the end of the year we plan a distance trip. So we're doing local and we're doing distance at the same time. And then, like I said, Friday at 1 o'clock, you're done for the weekend, and then they want you to rest and relax and get ready for the next week.
And all during the week is when he'll also be taking his classes. So when he's not off-site or in chapel, that's when he'll be taking his classes. And, so it's a pretty intensive schedule. But, again, we really feel like that's where the Lord's sending us. And those mission opportunities he's talking about is what the school means. It's very family-oriented, so I'm hoping to kind of make friends with some of the other young moms. And if I'm ever able to, you know, have a play date with Gabriel, I can jump in on the missions work with Daniel at any time. I can sit on any of his training courses. Mm-hmm. I can do, you know, some schools won't let you do that, but they let me, wherever I can, jump in, feel free, and but to not be fully committed to that, so that if I need to stay home with Gabriel, that I will be there for him. So, yeah, John.
No, it is not banned. Nope. Yeah. But here's what the South African government does do. They limit the amount that you're allowed to download in any given day on your computer. So they monitor everything, and they say, all right, you're allowed to download X amount of megabits. Boom. You can't exceed that. So if you're one of those guys that likes to download, and I'm really not, but I'm just saying, if you were, anything, all of your downloads qualify for your limit on what they'll allow you to download. That's how stringent they are in South Africa. So my brother's like, lucky, in California you can download as much as you want all day. I'm like, because I'm downloading things all day. But my brother thinks that's just amazing, that the United States doesn't limit how much you can download.
And so we will be able to keep in contact with you guys. We'll have a laptop with us, and we're planning to keep updates on Facebook. And as often, we do have Skype. If anybody, you know, we're planning to Skype and keep in contact. And we're fully set up to, we don't want to go away and not see your faces anymore. I'm going to get teary just thinking about it. But anyway, there will be opportunities. So, Carlos? Oh, sorry. 1 second. Sorry. What was that, Carlos?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Operation Christmas Child is in South Africa, I believe, but I'm not sure where. South Africa is a very large place. I mean, we're talking huge. And so we're not sure if it'll necessarily come close to us, but I would even travel. It'd be worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, if we could get the school involved, that would also be very cool, a good life-changing thing. But there's, like, I'm not sure if, Carlos, if you've been to Tijuana, there's a lot of poverty, like a Tijuana-style poverty in South Africa. We're talking entire cities full of people who, like, the clothes that they're wearing is all that they own. That's it. And the only shelter they have are the street signs that they've torn off of the public street signs and, you know, strapped together to make, you know, three walls and a roof. So that's the kind of poverty that we're going to be facing in South Africa. So,
Becky, do you have a question? Well, I was actually kind of looking that up, and the last time they took a census was in 2001, and it was Christianity, but we're not exactly sure how accurate that is. In fact, we're 99% sure that's not accurate. The sad thing is the next highest is people who marked no religion at all. So there's definitely a need out there. But they've got... And
there's a lot of spiritism.
Spiritism.
They believe in the evil spirits. I mean, from a very young age, they are trained that there are such a thing. There is such, well, one of the things that they call is the tokoloshi. They believe in the tokoloshi. Like, seriously, if you go into some of their houses, they have bricks under all four posts of their bed because the bed has to be raised high enough so that the tokoloshi can't get you at night. Like, they literally are that superstitious about the spiritual world. But what's so amazing about that is you just say, all right, you believe in spirits. Let me introduce you to the great spirit, the spirit that created all spirits. You know what I mean? So that level of spirituality actually is a great starting place to say, let me introduce you to the real spirit. Boom. And so that's actually something that's very useful in South Africa. But right on the main road, I didn't see any churches on any of the main roads in White River, but there was a huge mosque. We're talking big honking mosque on the main road in White River, which is real close to us. Yeah. So there's probably quite a Muslim influence. For them to have enough money and influence to have it on the main road means that there's probably a lot in our close area.
Yeah, Brenda. Yeah.
We're actually really blessed in that I still have permanent residence over in South Africa. It's one of those things that doesn't get revoked. And so because I live there for so long with my family, I have permanent residence. So the only one that we have to do gymnastics for is Laura and Gabriel.
So, the school has sent us a letter to send into the African government to say they should approve my visa. We haven't had a chance to. We're kind of hoping to do that with Gabriel and once he's born, and you can't do anything before he's born. So, but it does help that Daniel has permanent residency, and we've been able to transfer it over into his new current passport. And so as far as issues over there, it helps a lot because he was there for 14 years, so that's where he earned his permanent residency. So he doesn't require a visa for South Africa.
But the visa situation is real. Visa situation is real difficult in South Africa, in that they're real sticklers about paperwork. They're real tricky.
Yeah.
So that's something we're going to have to, and we'll have to deal with it every single year. Every year we're there, unless we can get her permanent residence, we'll have to go through the line, hours and hours and hours of waiting through the line.
Yeah.
And then, you know what, you don't have the right stamp, so come back next week. My dad did it for years and years and years. It's a real pain. So.
Sue, did you have a question? We're planning hopefully to sell our car. We have two cars, but the main car, and take that money to buy a car over there. So we'll have a single car for our use. It's on the left-hand side in stick, and I don't know either. So it might take a while to. So it's on. You sit. You know, normally be on this side of the car with the stick. It's on this side with the stick, and I don't even know how to drive stick. So anyway, might be a few bicycling for a while, but I'm not sure how safe that is. So anyway, we'll be able to, we're hoping to, for the Lord just to provide a car over there. That's why we're going a little bit early to try and set up some of those accommodations as far as a car. But if not, the school is very, very accommodating within it. So if it takes us a while to get used to getting out, Daniel, when we were there in March, just flew back into it. You knew exactly. I was sitting in the back like, I can't watch. You know, we're driving down the wrong side of the road, and we're turning to the
Susan
wrong
thinks place. Driving in Mexico was bad, she should see South Africa. That's all I'm going to say.
So.
All right. Yes, Carlos. It is its own individual country.
Yeah. Lots of differences. So.
Anybody else? Yes, Andrew. Go to Egypt. Is that a suggestion or a question? My dad has been to Egypt. It's amazing, and it's not really relevant because we're going to be in South Africa. But
yeah.
You know, if God leads us to go to Egypt, that would be fantastic, but it really is not up to us.
You saw on the slide there, the first slide with South Africa, there are very many countries, Mozambique, Botswana.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the other one that's close by there?
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, very close to the borders there. So as far as missions go, I know Daniel grew up going into those countries with his father all the time, so... The Lord may provide that.
Marissa's got a question.
Oh, Marissa.
Is there any rebels over there?
Depends upon what you mean by rebels.
Rebels, like the ones that are like going around
killing people?
Did you see that a lot?
No, it's fine, it's fine.
Over there.
There's a lot of different things. Like your question fits into a bunch of different categories. Crime is a very prevalent thing in South Africa. Crime is big. It's huge. And there's a lot of different things that play into that factor. It's not that there is like one group of people that are the rebels who are going around and killing people. It's that there's a lot of different factions of people that are warring and fighting against each other. I'm not sure how much you know about the history of South Africa, but started with the tribal system. Tribal system is very much top dog all the way down to the lowest. And so if you're in the Zulu tribe, you are the man. Like, you can get the job you want, people, you know, respecting the street. You walk with your chest out, you got your shoulders back, you are a Zulu. Nobody messes with that. Like, if you happen to be a Dingaan, then, man, you are the laziest, most, you know, worthless piece of junk that doesn't deserve to be scraped off the bottom of my shoe. I would be doing you a favor by killing you, kind of. Like, that's how they treat each other, just amongst the tribes, right? And so you've got a lot of different things going in as far as that kind of a question. Do you understand what I mean?
We didn't really encounter any. There's a lot of crime, but there's safe precautions you can take.
Yeah, right.
It's not like we have to worry about someone coming banging down the fence and running off with our children or anything. We really didn't encounter anything like that. And it really is, there are a mix of first world and third world all throughout South Africa. Yeah. So, I mean, there are things you have to be aware of. There are things, you know, especially with cars, you have like three different security measures on your car or else you don't come out. You come out and your car's not there anymore.
And even then, like the professional thieves will get your car even with four levels of security. My dad had an immobilizer, he had an alarm, he had a gear shift lock, and he had a steering wheel lock. And they got through all of that in a lit parking lot in a McDonald's, were in and out inside of 2 minutes. His car was gone. And so he just had to go buy a new car.
So, I mean, those are some things we have to be aware of. But as far as the kind of stuff you see a lot in West Africa or Central Africa, we're not faced with that,
yeah.
Which is a blessing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yes, Carlos. If you looked at the demographics, the people that were labeled as colored are people that have come from the West Indies and come from India, but they're not first generation, as in they have been generations and generations and generations of people who are, they classify themselves as colored, and they would be Indians, and they would sound a little bit like that. And you find them a lot at the coast. If you go down to Durban, there's whole pockets of people like what you're describing. Not like American Indian, but as in India from Indian. You understand what I mean? Okay. Yes, Peter. God has been, I don't know, just preparing me a lot as far as trusting Him. It's a real difficult step to take, leaving behind all of the comforts that are Orange County. I mean, we don't even realize how comfortable we are until you step outside of your world and look back and go, wow, it is an absolutely completely different world. Sure. If you open up your Bible to Matthew 28, and the Great Commission was something that God put on my heart as a very young man. Something He said to me is that, and this is a word of the Lord to me, was that you will bear my name to the nations. That was something that He said to me while I was in a quiet time. But the charge in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And something that God has laid heavily on my heart is it's not just that we go out and we reach the world and then we keep moving. That it's very much, missions work is two parts. It's not just preaching the gospel and seeing God move in mighty, powerful ways. It's continuing to build up the local church till the local church can stand by itself. It's something my dad has been doing for 30 years. He's been coming alongside pastors who are don't have the resources, don't have the same kind of training or biblical knowledge that we take for granted here in the United States. And so he'll go alongside and he'll partner with them and he'll work with them and he'll encourage them. And sometimes when they don't have food that week, he'll, you know, out of his budget, feed them. And he'll really focus on making sure that the leadership is getting to a place where they can start reaching out to other people and making sure that the leadership is solid. Something that God laid on my heart back, this was 4 years ago, actually. Rich probably remembers the conversation we had back 4 years ago. Was, let us not love in word and in speech, but in love and in action. Something God laid on my heart was, it's easy for us to say, you know, Jesus loves you, have a great life, you know, I'm going to, you know, just continue on my way. The parable of the Good Samaritan. The people that just, you know, wished him well, but, you know, walked on the other side of the street wishing him well, you know, continuing on right past him. Something that God laid on my heart is that he wants my wife and myself and our family to go and to be the hands and the feet, to go physically and to minister to them. And when he said them, part of what I believe he wants us to do with the rest of our lives is to be working not only with the local churches, but with other missionaries that are, you know, frazzled, worn out, and ready to quit. It's a really difficult thing stepping outside of your comfort zone, and it's a really difficult thing doing it at distance. It's very, very hard being away from the culture that you know. And so part of what Laura and I would love to do one day, something that I believe he's laid on our hearts sovereignly, is to go and to encourage those who are still in the front lines, those who are, you know, have been there for 20 years or 15 years, and to encourage and to build them up and see exactly what it's going to take to help them to continue to be fruitful on the field, what it is we can't build up. Like Barnabas, be the encourager. Figure out what it takes to help continue them on their path and be that for them. That's something that God has been laying on my heart for a long, long time. And there's a bunch of different scriptures that God has been connecting for me about stepping out of the boat, about trusting Him with my family. Because there are a bunch of things that, you know, are real difficult, like the malaria area thing. You know, like, it's not just me. It's not just my life anymore. It's my beautiful wife, and it's my baby boy. You know, it's difficult. But it's one of those things where you either learn to trust or you go home. And this is one of those places where God is saying, trust me. Because all things are possible. You know, for man, there are things that are just absolutely impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's also in Matthew. Something that He's been laying on our hearts is to go out and to make those things possible for people that have already been on the field and have been working so long and so hard at these kinds of things. But there's a long process for us to, from where we're at right now, to being those people and having the resources and having the ability and the skills to be able to work with missionaries who've been out there all their lives. So that's kind of, this is our bridging step. This is the next step that He said, I want you to trust me. And, you know, I tell you, part of that, part of trusting God is trusting that He's going to provide the finances. And that's a real difficult thing because for 7 years now, you know, God has provided me with a job. And that's the way that He's provided money and He's provided food and He's provided vehicles and He's provided a home and a beautiful wife and you know, all of these comforts and all of these amazing things. But now He wants us to step out and to live on support. And I tell you, most people, especially the guys at FedEx, were like, how are you going to eat? I said, we work by faith. And, you know, our churches that want to partner with us in our vision and churches that want to become a part of our team, churches that want to be able to send us and individuals that God lays it on their heart, those people are going to come around and those people are going to provide what we need. Not always what we want, but what we need. Go ahead.
For me, it's been a little bit different of a road than Daniel. We both knew we wanted to be missionaries before we... Am I speaking in the microphone? Everyone can hear me? Okay. We both knew we wanted to be missionaries before we even met each other. And I had a really strong desire. And as we've gotten closer and closer, to be completely honest, the fears have started setting in a little bit. And I say this because I know you're my family, and I know you will understand. Taking a brand new infant over there is, you know, as a mother about to be, you know, it's a little concerning. And I found myself at times, you know, what if I get over there and something happens to Daniel? I'll get over there, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not as good with the verses, but the verse of the Lord just kept throwing back in my head is keeping your mind on things above. You know, keep your mind on what is good. What?
It's Colossians 3:1.
See, he's my human reference there. And you know, and at those times when I feel myself overwhelmed, you know, are we really doing this? Is Lord, you know, and He just says, keep your mind on things above, keep your mind on the good things, and know that, you know, we both know we're supposed to be going over there. And I mean, I know it's also part of the hormones too, the whole worrying thing too. But it's really been amazing, especially in the last few weeks. The Lord has just been calming my heart more and more because we're going because the Lord said to go. And there are some fears I still have. There are some things, you know, but every time I have those fears, I feel like His arms are wrapping around me. And He knows, I know that He knows what He's doing. And I know He's going to take care of us. And that's been something that the Lord has just kind of been, every time my mind starts going or the devil just grabs and says, worry about this, or what if this happens, or what if that happens, what if you're left alone, what if you're, you know, He just puts that verse back in my mind, and that's something that's been helping me a lot, you know, and it also just leaving you guys, you know, leaving our family. Mm-hmm. My family's up north, and His family's in South Africa. You all are our family. I'm going to start crying. Okay, I'm not going to cry. Okay, anyway, you're our family, and it's hard to leave, and, Daniel and I have talked about how much this church has meant to us. And even when we go on vacation for like a week at a time, like I feel like I miss our church. I miss being with my family. So in those times, it makes me so glad. Oh, thank you. It makes me so glad that there are things like technology that we can keep update with you guys. And we, you know, we're following where the Lord sends us, but there are some hard things about it too. And but they're good things because the Lord's going to do some amazing things. So.
now.
Yes, Dan.
Yeah.
My thought is on the Bible. As you've been teaching, have all those languages, do they have translations of the Old and New Testament? How do you handle, or what thoughts do you have about being able to master? Are you sick with one certain language to deal with that?
It's a real challenge. The biggest challenge is bridging the cultural gap. Because there are some things that we just wouldn't even think, and that the mindset is so very different in Africa. The whole lifestyle is so very different. I mean, I arrived in South Africa, and we were waiting for our bags, and only half of the bags showed up, and I knew that they would come, but I knew that they'd take about 30 or 40 minutes. And the Americans are tapping their feet and looking for people and making phone calls and sticking their head through. There's like these flaps, and they're sticking their heads through the flaps looking for the things, and they're shouting at people. And I'm just leaning back against the pillar smiling because I know that this is Africa and it's different. And the mindset is completely different. And so part of what we have is an advantage, and it's something that I've done before, preaching and teaching with a translator. And it's a completely different skill, working through a translator. And you've got to kind of build up a relationship and trust with the translator that he's going to translate it faithfully. But what I love about a translator is you say, you know, what you need, Jesus loves you, and then you wait. And as he's translating that, that gives you just a split second to keep thinking about where your message is going. But my challenge in that was when he would continue on, and when he would, I'd start to think about other things, and then he'd stop and be like, oh, man, where was my message again? But
Refocus.
Refine, no, but there are a lot of people who not only know one language, not only two, but three or four languages. And so the translator will be able to translate from English into Zulu. So if we're speaking to an audience that's primarily Zulu, some will understand the English that I'm speaking, and then when he translates or she translates, they'll translate it into the Zulu for them. And yes, there are good translations in all of those languages already. If you go further up north, we're talking up by Djibouti, there are still some pockets of people, languages that still need translations. But that I don't believe at this point is not something that God has laid on my heart specifically for translations. That's a whole different mission. If God called us to that, I would be faithful to do it. I feel that often God draws you to what you're passionate to do. And that's not necessarily one of the things that God has drawn me to. But I'm sure that in our training, in our missions training, we'll come to deal with where you have the breakdown in language, how to deal with the cultural differences in thinking, because it is a whole different world. Thank you for that question.
Any others? Okay.
Oh, yes, Jan.
Aside from biases versus the need,
Thank you for asking. Prayer is the lifeblood of every missionary. If we do not get a solid team who will support us in prayer, I guarantee you it will not work. That is one of the ways that I have seen across the board missionaries survive on prayer. Without people who are going to be committed to praying for us, we'll fall short. We won't make it. That's one of the ways that God sovereignly chooses to work is through the prayers of the saints. It's, you know, from Genesis all the way through Revelations, he desires us to pray, and that's one of the ways that we stay connected. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, we've sent out letters to our church family, and we'll have other copies for people that we didn't have addresses for, people that for whatever reason didn't get a letter, we'll have other copies also. We put pictures on it so that hopefully when you see that picture that you can pray for us. We're also going to be doing fridge magnets. It's kind of a missionary thing, but stick us on the fridge, and when you're going for that milk, and at 2 a.m., you know, which would be like right in the middle of the day, be like, you know, God, just protect and bless the grants. Because even just simple prayers are just so valuable to us. And, you know, when you think about it, zip us something on Facebook. Hey, we were thinking about you. Because being a world away, it's going to be lonely. You know, 4 hours is quite a distance to the closest people that we know. That's quite a ways. But say, my mother is so excited about her grandbaby, her first grandbaby, and she's going to be visiting often, I hope. In fact, she has switched her job around, quit her job so that she could be closer and have the time available to help us out. But even then, she won't be able to be there all the time. And so your messages and your prayers and, you know, financial support and praying for financial support is another thing. You know, not everybody's in a place right now where they can say, hey, I can put X amount down. But pray that God will raise up the people that will. Being faithful to pray for that is so very, very important.
I think for me personally, like, specific prayer requests would just be to calm my anxious heart. Daniel grew up there, so there's a lot of going back into it that is just, I mean, when we were there for 2 weeks, not that I'd be like, who are you? Like, it's a completely different man than I married. You know, not in a bad way, just anyway, but if you think about, you know, just prayer, I would think we both would really appreciate, like Daniel said, we've both had jobs. We both have been working full time for the last few years, and that's where our finances come from. And I've honestly never lived on just, you know, praying that the Lord will raise up. And the one thing we're very big on is we don't want to guilt anyone into giving us money. We don't want to write saying, you know, if you don't give us money, we're coming home. You know, we just, the times when I hear people just saying, you know, the Lord made me feel like this is to go to you, that's really where we want our support to come from. We don't want it to come from guilting people. And I am a little nervous that some people may look at it as we're going off to college, so why should we support them to go to school? And it's really, it's a lifestyle change, and it's a, you know, it's complete changing of going off and doing ministry twice a week and all this different opportunities. And so it's a little nerve-wracking. It's a little nerve-wracking to just sell everything we own and jump on a plane and hope that next month we have enough to buy the groceries and have gas to put in the car, and, you know. So, I mean, that's something, a specific prayer request for myself, if you were ever thinking about, just to calm my anxious heart and to just trust even more in Him. So,
and something that God has already been doing, and this was really cool because this is kind of our first kickoff of fundraising for the support. And so to this point, we don't know that God will raise the budget that we drafted a budget as to what we would need every month. And we don't, you know, have that yet. We don't have that pledged to us yet. But something that God has done that's really cool is before, because tonight's our first kickoff night, even before this, we've had people and people come to us and say, hey, you're going to South Africa, and I want to be a part of that. I want to support that. You know, make sure that you send me a letter so that I can help you out. And that has been something that's been really encouraging to me, is that God is already bringing people and laying it on their hearts. But something that I wanted to say, having grown up in a missionary family, the majority of my dad's support, and he's been on the field for, I think, 32 years now, have been people who haven't had, like, a lot of money, but have been faithful. This one gal, for 25 years until she passed and went to be with the Lord herself, you know, put $25 down every month. She was faithful in the little things, even though it was $25, which may sound like nothing. You know, I think of that as, like, that's, you know, a couple Starbucks cards, for goodness sakes. But she was faithful all the way to the end. And so, and it's people like that that really build together to make it work. Yeah. Yes, Carlos.
They send you money from the U.S.
Good question. He's asking about, like, if you were to give us American dollars, what does that look like in Africa? Right now it looks like 7 to 1. So for every dollar that you put down, that equals 7 South African rand. But don't think that that's going to be an amazing ton of money, because certain things are cheaper in Africa and certain things are very expensive. The cheapest, like, if we were to get a real clunky car, like a really, like a hoopty, like we're talking...
A hoopty?
Hoopty, as in a clunker. If we were to get a real...
Been under these lights too long.
The lights! It'd probably be 60,000 rand. So that's a lot of... I mean, we could go to, you know... In California, you could find a hoopty for a clunker for, you know, $1,500. You cannot find that in Africa. Cars are very expensive. That's something that we do have to trust, that God is going to provide us the money to get a car. There are certain things like meat. Meat and bread and, like, staples. Staples food is very cheap. But extravagant food, like, let's say you wanted Cocoa Puffs, very expensive.
No Cocoa Puffs.
No Cocoa Puffs for you.
Our budget that we dropped is on the back of the newsletter that we sent out, which we also have a sign-up list here with us if for some reason. We just sent them out yesterday, so they might still be in the mail. I think some people started receiving them. But if you think you might not have got it, you can put your name down, and I'll check my list because I have a list of them all. We'll make sure you get on there.
And who's that for?
What?
For anybody who, whether you want to support us or whether you just want to get the newsletter.
Just want an update. We'll, Yeah, we can either do an actual letter or just an email update as well. We're going to try to be doing them once a month. My sister's going to help us out in Oregon by mailing those out. But, yeah, it's I totally just lost my train of thought. What were we talking about? Oh, budgets. The budget's on the back of that newsletter. So, and that's just our projected budget. We have no idea. We may get over there and find that, you know, we don't need that much for food and, you know, put down baby expenses, I think, at like
$100
or something. And, diapers and stuff like that. You know, it's just we have no idea what stuff costs over there because some of the things are a monopoly. Here you can go to four or five different stores to buy diapers. Over there there's one store to buy diapers, and they'll charge what they want to charge for their diapers. So.
And it's either that or banana leaves.
Yes. Which
we might just have to get comfortable with banana leaves, honey.
Or your
old shirt. I'm just kidding. No.
Anyway, so.
Yes, absolutely. There are a couple different addresses we can give you to ship things to us. And there are some things that I will be dying for in about 6 months, and I can already give you that list.
Donuts?
Not donuts.
Yeah, ship us an In-N-Out burger.
You can get...
Just kidding.
You cannot come by Reese's Pieces or root beer. There's only one place that I know of that you can find... You probably can't. But there's only one place I know of where you can find root beer, and it's not really even that good.
When his brother and sister-in-law came to visit for our wedding, they tried to take root beer back on the plane, but at that point you couldn't take, you know, liquids over a certain amount. So they stood before the security gate and was chugging. They were chugging all the root beer before they had to get on because they were just, they love, whenever his dad comes to visit, what do you want to get? Just give me a root beer.
And pudding. Sugar-free pudding.
Stuff like that. But, yeah, we'll definitely be keeping in contact and letting you guys know if there's anything. But it's a pretty good... if worse comes to worse, we can even ship it to his parents who are 4 hours away, and that's more reliable because we're out more in the rural area. In fact, I think everything has to be shipped to, like, a P.O. box over there. Mm-hmm. So if it's boxes or anything like that, we can even have it shipped to his parents, and then his parents can bring
and
it over.
The South African government are pirates when it comes to shipping anything. And so, like, when it comes to values, like, oof, they can be real sticklers because they don't want you to ship stuff to us and have us sell it and make a profit. And so anytime anything comes in where they think there's actually a value to it or possible of resale, they'll hold on to it and make us pay, like, duties through the roof. So
we
have to be careful about what...
No!
We just have to be careful about what it is. Anyway. Sure, no. Yeah.
Oh.
South Africa has black cat peanut butter. It's not made out of cats. But it is actually rather decent. It's not quite Skippy. You will not have to ship me peanut butter. I can get peanut butter at the store, but like Laura said, that will be something that's probably going to be expensive. But yes, Dan. Oh, absolutely. Oh, they will check your mail. Absolutely they will. Mm-hmm. Because they want to know what it is you're getting. They want to know. Yes. I don't know specifically about letters, but I know for goods, absolutely they will. Olivia. Yes.
Gabriel and I will. But because of his permanent residency, he won't need a visa.
And that'll be annually. We'll have to renew it annually or, I don't know, ship you off to Swaziland for a couple months. Swaziland's nice. I'm going to go with probably somewhere between $50 and $100, something like that. I don't know. I haven't actually looked into it. No, $50 to $100 for the year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. $50. That's a good question. I don't know.
Can pray over all packages that everything gets through.
There it is. And something that is an advantage. If you're going to buy me a Nerf gun and ship it to me, take it out of the package, shoot Andrew with it, and then put it in the package and then ship it to me because then it's used and mark it as used because you just shot Andrew with it. But make sure that you've used it. If you've used it, it's used. I'm just saying. Yes, Earl. Do you want to get it there in one piece? No, I won't have any discount at that time. And UPS is actually quite faithful at delivering in South Africa, believe it or not. And no, I would never take people keep asking me, are you going to work for FedEx in Africa? I'm like, Do you want to be the guy who's got a truck full of valuables in the country that has the highest crime statistics in the world? No. No, no. It's like I trust God amongst lions, but I don't go sticking my head in the mouth of a lion.
Exactly. So.
Any other questions? Yes, Brenda.
She knew ever since it was about 2002 when I was sophomore or junior in high school when I came into the door of our house saying, I'm going to be a missionary. And my dad was an evangelist with Billy Graham and he would travel all over the world. So she's kind of used to seeing her loved ones go overseas. She has had some people come up to her, even at her church up there, and say, how can you let them take your grandbaby to South Africa and take him away from you? And my mom, being an amazing godly woman, turned to me, who am I to stand in God's way? He has called them over there. Who am I to say, you know, stay here? She's already planning to come out next summer. She's already planning a trip there, but we're going to be Skyping and hopefully, taking some video camera and all this different stuff. She's very supportive of it. She is. That's why we're kind of spending a month over there in December to kind of give her some time with the grandbaby, but not a lick of any type of disappointment in us, just completely supportive. So she's an amazing woman, and I love her to death. So even when people have tried to, make her think that maybe there could be something wrong with us going, she just stands behind that the Lord has called them. Who am I to stand in their way? And so, yeah, like,
that's
she's been
question.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yes, Carlos, another question? Are they big on souvenirs? Context for your question. Are there a lot of trinkety things? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, just like they sometimes find like
tons of it. I mean,
we kind of brought some of it on the tables back there. Which to explain some of the stuff on the tables are some stuff we've brought back from South Africa. Some stuff his parents have sent us throughout the years. Some things were wedding gifts from people in South Africa. Everything there is from there. You might have seen the white globe, that's an ostrich egg actually that we brought back, we have some different shirts around there and a lot of carved items, stuff like that. So
seven to one right now, but it's dropping, so it's like 6.8 $1, 6.8 rand,
which also means that our budget can change because the exchange rate's always changing. So one month, if someone sends us $200, it'll be worth so many rand, and then next month it can be worth a lot less. Mm-hmm. So it's it's one of those things that you sometimes even will wait to exchange out the money because you're hoping the exchange rate. It's kind of a new way of living. We don't really deal with exchange rates over here, but over there you kind of have to wait until hopefully it goes up, and sometimes you just got to exchange it right out because you need the money then. So. But it's around 6 to 7. The money will be coming here to the church office, and they'll be putting it. I know we've talked about at the church, the Grant Mission Fund. So it'll be going into there. We're still working out the exact details, but something that his father has done for years is someone would take the money, deposit it into an account number that we have set up in South Africa, so they deposit here, and then write ourselves a check and cash that check out. So that's kind of what his dad's been doing for 30 years. It's kind of a roundabout way of getting the money to us, but it'll be a lot through we won't be mailing the money to ourselves or anything like that. It'll be a lot of electronic transfers, and we have to figure out when we get over there what banks we'll set up. You don't really have the same banks here as you have over there. So that's kind of still, we're going to have to work on it as we get over there. But all the money will come through the church here and be counted and kept record of here. And then we'll be working with people in the office to get it transferred over to us. Yeah, Brenda. Certain things are cheaper, certain things are more expensive. Gas is much more expensive.
Four times
as expensive as it is here in Orange County. So.
And it's regulated by the government.
Right. So if there's like a month where we end up going on a mission trip and we're using our car to travel around, that could be more expensive. I think right now we have it at possibly $400 a month for gas. That's how expensive it can be over there. As far as luckily the schooling and the lodging and the lunches are all covered under one amount through the school. So we broke that down. It would be about $650 a month to live, just be at the school, to have our accommodations and everything there, which is a blessing there. It definitely is, you know, less than you'd pay for here. But different things like food and miscellaneous fees, health care, we, what did we put down?
I don't remember. We had to guess.
We had to guess around. Yeah, we put around 300, 370, because we're going to have to look into health care when we get over there. It's just going to be, you know, with a three-month-old, and then, you know, you never know what's going to happen. The school actually suggested a lot of people just get, like, emergency health care, but with a three-month-old and just our history, both of our histories with hurting ourselves, just we're klutzy people. But anyway, so we're I think I've broken more bones than anyone in my family. But anyway, just, you know, we want to have that medical coverage. So right now our budget's set at $3,000 a month for everything. So that's, you know, as we get over there and we get used to where we're driving around, what we're doing, you know, if we're able to pay off the school faster, then we wouldn't have to take so much out of each month. But that's what we're guessing right now, and we'll be revising it and letting you know if we're able to take it down, if we're able to find a better health care at a lower amount, something like that. So, Rich? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, he's just telling us we're running low on time.
We are 60 seconds over.
Are there any last questions? If there's any other questions, too, we can talk about them up here afterwards. I know I did want to let you know. I'm going to put these back here. These are the sign-ups if you want to receive the mail or the email. Like I said, we just sent the letters out yesterday, so I think some people have received them. But if you're not sure if you've received it or yet, you can put your name down, and I'll check with our list to see if we have you on there already. We also have an email list to sign up for if you prefer to get it through email. And the last thing I was going to talk about is we do have these little keychains that we brought back from South Africa that just say on the back of them, please pray for the grants. And we just love it if you wanted to, you know, just dedicate your time and just make that pledge to pray for us. To just, we don't have very many with us, but we're hoping to get more from Africa. So anyways, if you guys are really dedicated, you know, to just keep us in your prayers and hearts, put us on your keys and stuff like that. So we'll have those afterwards in the back, too. Are there any last questions? Like I said, we can answer some up here afterwards, too. Okay.
All right.
Bow
your heads and pray with us. Lord God, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you so much for that that you are so gracious, Lord God, in your leading, God. We just pray that you would be working in us, Lord, and just providing the finances, Lord God, and just be doing all that you have set out to do, Lord God. We pray that you would be just encouraging those who would be a part of our financial team, and that you'd just be encouraging those who would be set aside to be our prayer warriors, Lord God, who would stand in the gap on our behalf, Lord God. We just pray that you'd be encouraging those, and that you'd be making it very clear to people tonight, Lord God, what it is you would have them do, how it is you would like them to partner with us, God. God, we thank you so much for your great mercy and your amazing grace, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you move, I've got one more thing. I bought some traditional African candy. I'm going to give them out to my junior high kids who didn't talk during the service. So, oh, yeah.